your story. Fill up the pages. Sing a little song. Keep me around. Keep me with you. Right by your nightstand. Keep me around as long as you can.
Hi, everybody. Tucker here. Just wanted to give you a little trigger warning about today's episode. If you super dig on God and things of a Christian nature...
Trigger warning, Jesus is black.
And with that, that should be all you need to know if you're going to have a hard time today. So with that, let's get to it.
Trigger warning, gay people are around.
Jesus was black and gay. Get over it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special and unique episode of ADD Storytelling, a podcast in which we explore the myths and legends of our time, the past and the future in no particular order. My name is Tucker, joined by always by our delightful neurodivergent host, Maddie. And it seems like there's someone else in the room.
It's God.
It's God, yeah. It's the presence of our Lord and Savior. Speaking of which, our special guest today, Jordan, would you like to lead us in prayer today before we start out?
Can we all hold hands and bow our heads and close our eyes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan into the mic now, Jordan.
Oh. Hail Satan.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. I forgot how to pray.
Yeah. Sometimes you do. Let me start with a prayer, but what does that segue into? What's our topic today, Maddie?
I wrote here, weird Bible stuff.
Okay.
But we're not even going to touch...
scholarly kind of episode, it seems.
Yeah, we're not going to touch Genesis. Like, everyone knows that's fucked up, so we're just leaving that there. Genesis is its own thing.
As opposed to the rest of the Bible, that's the one where you draw the line.
I just don't... there's too much there.
That's where the party starts, though.
Yeah.
That's where the party starts.
Let's get this party started in Genesis.
No, we're avoiding Genesis. Okay. I'm pretty sure Moses is Exodus, right?
You're asking the wrong guy. This is why Jordan's here.
I have not been in the Bible in a long time. I'm going to say yes.
All right. We have a yes on Exodus for Moses.
Wait. So we should just say our expertise in...
Okay, yeah. We'll go around starting with Maddie.
Okay, so one side of the family, we got the Italian Catholic. And the other side of the family, we got the Irish Catholic. And I had to go to Catholic high school and do a Bible study course.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 years of religion studies that I could have filled with an art elective, but instead I had to mandatorily go to Bible study.
What are your credentials?
I grew up very Christian, went to an African Methodist Episcopal church most of my life, and, you know, we'd go to Sunday school and go to, like, a three-hour service every Sunday morning. So that's my credentials, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, and myself, I've seen a Bill Maher special before, and that's about it.
Is that a joke?
You tell me, listener. Did you laugh? Because I thought that was a zinger.
Is that an old man?
It's an old man on HBO that really likes to talk about how silly people that believe in faith are.
Oh.
He's a real sack of shit.
Okay.
He used to be funny.
He used to be?
Yeah.
Was he a comedian?
Yeah. He's one of those guys that's like, he did a movie called Religious, which is pretty good and funny, but now he's just kind of like a libertarian dick.
He has a mustache, doesn't he?
I don't think he does.
Oh, we've been thinking of another guy.
He has long, luscious blonde hair.
I have no idea.
I was literally thinking of someone that had like russet, like almost the color of your beanie, like red hair.
It would put me on blast. Now all the listeners know I have a beanie on.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up, honestly.
This is a private, safe place for me and my beanies.
How's God going to get into your head when you have a beanie on?
Yeah, that's true. I wear this beanie to keep Jesus out.
Yeah. Well, you and Magneto both.
That's the lore.
Okay, so...
Come on, Jordan. We're talking about real things today.
Okay.
Keep Magneto out of this.
I do have sources.
All right.
Okay. So the first one is, starting off fresh, gay liberation from www.oxfordbiblestudies.com. John the Evangelist, Beloved Disciple of Jesus, and Maybe His Lover by Kittredge Cherry on gspirit.net. And then The Funniest Bible Stories of All Time by Robert Carnes, which is, I don't know, jamrobcar.medium.com.
Is Jam Rob Carr a name?
That sounds like my favorite band
name. Yeah, yeah. I'd get down with some Jam Rob Carr.
And then the first free online Bible that you can get on the internet, on Google, that's what I used to get these passages from.
When you say first, you mean like just like the first one that comes up when you Google free Bible?
That's right.
Okay.
Homie, I could have got you a free Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, break into as many hotels as you want.
Yeah.
Grab one.
I stay at hotels just for the Bibles.
I left my father's laminated leather Catholic.
Leather?
No, it's embossed. Embossed.
Laminated leather sounds like one of the most viscerally upsetting leather things Bible, I can imagine.
Back in Motown, you know.
Yeah.
Home of the Jeremy Renner.
There is times when every year growing up, my parents would give me like a new Bible. That was a lot of fun. I've lost every single one, or they're kind of like destroyed just from too much use.
Heavy use, yeah.
Yeah, reading keeping the word
yeah.
aggressively.
Yeah. High octane faith practicing.
I remember everything I've ever read in that book.
Really? Party Bibles?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, party Bible.
Yeah.
Should have a Bible party.
No.
Okay.
Take it away, Maddie.
Just kidding. That's
what do we
church.
Got?
Okay. So we got some Bible verses. I thought this fun game could be that you guys can tell me what the moral of the story is once I give you this piece of scripture.
Are you saying it won't be implicit?
I didn't realize this would be a test.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't think I'd have to participate today.
Well, it's like your own interpretation, right? Everybody interprets the Bible differently, but of course, whatever church you're a part of, that one is correct.
I thought the Word of God was just that. I didn't know it was open for interpretation, Maddie.
Yeah. Well, as are books.
I'm saying this is kind of just a willy-nilly sort of
yeah.
fast and loose rules.
So the first one is the one that inspired this episode. It's called Jesus Curses the Fig Tree. It's from Matthew 21, in case you want to flip your Bible open now.
Give the listeners a second. hold on, everybody. Hold on just a minute.
We have no pages to turn.
No, this reminds me very much of church when they would
start
playing some little ditty for a minute,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
everyone would be flipping. It was kind of a nice sound, actually, a whole room of people just like flipping through pages.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his...
What time?
I was going to read it when Jesus was on his back, but when Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was really hungry.
How Jesus starts most mornings.
Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again."
Damn.
Immediately the tree withered.
Some petty shit. Jesus.
When the disciples saw this, they were amazed.
It's dark magic.
How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked.
Why would he do this, they wondered.
Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, as in wither them, but also you can say this to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." And I have like a really distinct memory of reading this in Catholic school and like the tree catching on fire, but maybe like I'm remembering it in like a heavy metal version.
A more fun way.
Versus it withering.
I've never heard this one before, but I'm very excited.
Seems to me, face value, the moral of the story is believe in the words and works of Christ and you gain power over nature.
I mean, that's literally... Yeah. How our society was built.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. I don't know. God or Jesus or whatever, both are literally just kind of like, yeah, if you believe you can do it, you can just like move a mountain. But it's like, homie, no, we can't.
Also, he killed the tree, right?
Oh, it's withered, yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't actually command
it.
It didn't obey him as much as he just killed it. If he'd, like, said, "You will bear fruit," and it suddenly was, like, popping off of that tree semen that we call delicious fruit, that would be one thing, because it, like, does as he tells it. But instead, he's just a petty boy in the early mornings.
I mean, I guess I do have the power of Jesus, because every plant I've tried to grow dies.
Yeah, yeah, I can kill a plant.
Yeah, so...
You want me to kill a plant? I'll kill a plant.
It withers when you look at it.
Yeah.
Well, once you curse it.
Most people do that.
Yeah.
All right.
So did we get the correct answer?
I don't know the correct answer.
Shit.
Are we passing?
Yeah, you're passing.
Cool.
Sure.
Cool.
I'm Jesus passing.
Okay, this one's really short. It's from 2 Kings 2.
Electric King Lou.
Elisha is Jeer.
2 King 2 Furious.
2 King 2 Furious. From there,
Elijah.
Elijah? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we said in our church, but who knows?
It's spelled Elisha.
We're like American, so really.
Elijah?
Don't put yourself on blast.
Was that right?
I'm British.
Elijah?
Elijah. That's what we said in our church, so it must be right.
Like Elijah Wood.
Expertise. That's why. From there, Elijah went up to Bethel. And he was walking along the road. Some boys came out of the town and jeered at him.
Every episode we get to boys, and it makes me so happy.
Get out of here, Baldy, they said. Get out of here, Baldy. He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys.
Woo! Oh, wow, this rules.
Oh, that's an interesting number.
42
bear mauled boys?
And then he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. End story.
Wow.
I mean,
the Bible's hardcore. Honestly, we should give it another read. There's some good stories of just revenge and, I guess, instant karma could be a thing.
Which
I guess is a weird thing to say, because that's not really Christian.
No. What's the class in D&D where you can control animals? The person was a beastmaster, and brought down how many bears? Did it just say a horde?
Two bears,
42 boys.
42 boys.
So that's 21 42, boys per bear?
It said 42 of the boys, as in there were more boys than 42.
that's a murder of boys.
Wow, that's a lot of boys.
That's a pod of boys.
Wait, who cursed them?
Bethel?
Elijah.
Elijah. Oh, yo, Elijah's hard fucking core.
And apparently a beastmaster.
Yeah, beastmaster Elijah Woods.
Yeah. Damn. Okay, morals, though.
Don't call people bald. Men are really...
insecure.
Insecure about their balding.
And usually bald men are beastmasters.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that tracks. God, morals.
I feel like that's, like, what it is on its face. Don't talk shit to people or you fucking die.
Just bears.
42 plus boys came at me and just started talking shit. I would probably be like, fuck you. And then, lo and behold, two bears would come.
My husband said this hat looked nice. What are you talking about?
God damn, I'm just envisioning that many boys.
So many boys.
What are they doing? What were they doing beforehand?
Drinking, maybe.
Yeah. Avoiding bears.
They had some of that water to wine that Jesus made. And they were like, we should go jeer some bald people on the side of the street. Which is really messed up. It's kind of ageist, I guess.
I guess.
But how old were the boys? Well, I guess we don't know from the story.
They're boys.
Yeah.
They're probably biting age.
It's one, two, it's three sentences long, this whole story.
It's a very good story. Will you read this to me later? Just again?
Before you go to bed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I want this to be my daily bedtime story.
Are you ready for the next one?
I'm not. I can't actually say that I'm ready to move past this.
I feel like there's a lot to unpack on this last one.
There is a lot. 42 boys and two bears. Did they mention how rapidly the bears took those boys down?
They don't. It's three sentences.
Yeah, that's true. I do need a lot more info on this story.
Well, I guess it's I guess it's five sentences, maybe.
Thanks for clarifying.
But there's only 23, 24, 25.
The three verses.
Three verses.
Is that what it is?
Three stanzas.
Three stanzas.
I think verses is probably correct.
Three cantos.
Four haikus.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Let's move on.
I guess we can move past the bears. Okay. I can't mentally, but for the show.
So this is Ezekiel 3. And we're coming in the middle here. And so God is speaking.
Okay.
He said,
you do a voice for God?
And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Okay. Then he said to me, son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words. You're not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel. Not to many people of obscure speech and strange language, whose words you can't understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel, etc., etc., are hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. The end.
Okay.
I mean, it keeps continuing on, but I feel like
that's not the end. That doesn't. It's not how the Bible ends.
It's not the end of the Bible.
The end.
Well, I want to go blue here.
That's a metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that just saying if you like?
Well, he said eat scroll.
Yeah.
Scroll, not squirrel.
Yeah, I do keep hearing squirrel as well.
Scroll.
Scout. Yeah. Okay.
Oral fixation thing. With cylindrical objects. If you eat them well, people are gonna like you. And your head becomes hard. That's what I took away. I
tell you, it doesn't taste like honey, though.
Hey! You've tried God's scroll?
Oh, true. Damn.
Is it about learning all the languages so you can be, like, able to communicate with everyone around you?
Not, like, so much the language. It's just, like, a way... It's, like, I don't know, like, metaphorically saying, like, take my word to these people who don't listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. It's, like... I don't know. It's stupid. Like, God can literally, like, just, like, open up a hole in the earth and drown all of everyone or whatever.
He's very quick to do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's trying to turn over a new leaf.
Yeah,
And it's like, I'm gonna have you talk to them instead, because they're not listening to me. When, really, just, like, show up and show out, homie.
Yeah.
Just, like, come up and be like, yeah, I'm God. I'm, like, in the sky yelling at you. Do good.
Yeah, that's true. Show up and put out, God.
Yeah, like making boys eat scrolls.
Yeah, making bears eat boys.
Yeah, could just like show up.
Bears
and, like,
eat boys.
Bears eat boys full of scrolls.
Really, the idea of like a bad manager. It's just like, yeah, I don't want to do.
He's really not delegating, or yeah. He's delegating his work and his responsibilities.
Oh, so maybe a good manager.
I guess.
Yeah.
He's giving treats. You know, everybody he's wants free food at work.
Giving out those sweet honey tasted treats.
Yeah, he's giving you honey paper scrolls.
That's pretty rip roaring. Coming off the bear story.
It's a little less. It doesn't get that much better than the bear story.
You peaked early with bear story?
Well, also, there's one more that I think you'll like, but...
Also, let's talk about God just kind of tripping over his words over there.
Yeah.
He's like...
He just kept saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
I kind of had to sum it up a little.
Who knew
I feel like God? A lot of people have summed up what God said.
Like, this is where it comes from.
I didn't feel the need to directly quote. I feel like...
A lot of people have also said that about God.
Yeah, that's what my pastor probably said once or twice.
God's a little loquacious.
I'm paraphrasing God today, y'all. Yeah, I guess Jordan got it with take my cliff notes to thy people.
Yeah, I definitely decided to go the serious route this one.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you have to take God a little seriously, or he will... feed you his scrolls.
I still think it's about fellatio.
We haven't gotten there yet.
See, that's kind of... Alright, since you cited your sources, and I saw a glint in your eye when you were reading that, I was thinking, I see where Maddie's going here, talking about swallowing scrolls, but no, I was wrong. Now I just sound like a fool in front of all our friends and family.
Fucking freak.
Yeah. Great.
Got a scroll fixation. Okay, I'm not gonna read the title of this one because it's a spoiler, but it's from Acts.
That's considerate of you. There are some of our listeners that haven't finished reading the Bible yet, so no spoilers.
Right.
Yeah.
It's only a paragraph, though. Okay. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus.
Mm-hmm. Eutychus.
Sure.
Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Huh? Paul
That's
went
on
you,
down. Paul. Whoa.
And threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
They took him home alive.
Did they take him home
alive? Yeah, or did they just take his body home because talkative Paul told him he was good?
So there, no one was drinking? No one was drunk at this party?
This sounds
no,
like a
rager. No, he fell asleep.
Oh.
And then fell down three stories onto the ground.
Yeah, he can live from that.
And then he was lovingly embraced by Paul on the ground, and then he came back to life.
Paul was wasted, though, right?
Eucytus, or Eutychus, raised from the dead at Troas is what this was called. Raised from the dead.
Oh, okay. Good for you, Paul.
Yeah.
This is...
Killing it, Paul. What time did Paul start speaking if he went till midnight?
Around 3 p.m.
Yeah, it's kind of what I just went with.
Yeah.
Well, if you came together to break bread...
It's dinner.
It could be...
Diner.
It could be dinner, or it could be breakfast, even. He could have been he could have done a 12-hour speaking day.
Oh, my God. I mean...
I mean, it is like Paul.
Yeah. Classic Paul. We all have one of those friends, am I right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Would we be those friends at this point?
What?
Because we're doing a podcast, like, could we talk for 12 hours straight somehow? Fuck
no. I guess there's only one way to find out, podcast marathon.
Yeah, welcome to it. You're deep in now.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Didn't know what I was getting into when I woke up this morning. But I knew it had something to do with microphones.
We're speed running the Bible today.
Yeah.
Speed running the entire Bible?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're skipping over Genesis. As I said, that would take too long.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you speed run, you gotta skip the intro.
Yeah.
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 Okay, what's the moral of that story?
Is
don't fall asleep or you'll fall 3 flights of stairs, but it's okay because you'll just get brought back to life anyway.
Yeah, is there even really a moral to that story?
It's just kind of like a miracle.
Yeah.
Would you say that Paul is interesting or not interesting if he kept talking until midnight?
Wildly uninteresting. He killed someone with his monologue.
Yeah, someone literally died on his watch.
Yeah.
How is that one work, God?
Also, he only served bread.
This party it's an expression.
I know, but this party needs more zerts. Or apps, sorry. We didn't even get to the desserts because Paul talked on
that. Are they serving tapas?
Yeah. What else? Do we have anything to go on the bread, Paul? This is probably also why this poor little Alexis died so violently, because he had low blood sugar from just eating bread.
Ulysses?
Yeah, Ulysses S. Grant died this horrible death from falling 3 floors.
He was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on.
Yeah, that sucks, Paul.
And then he fell down. You know, maybe he didn't just fall. Maybe he was like, oh, fuck this. I'm done, Paul. And Paul's like, no, I got you.
And that's
you.
Why he got brought back to life. It's just like, you can't avoid the word of God.
Yeah. And then we never heard Ulysses again.
Yeah.
And
Ultron never spoke again.
It's E-U-T-Y-C-H-U-S. Eucytus. Eutychus.
I can tell you what, spelling it out loud really cleared that
Eucytus.
Up for me.
This one.
Oh, God.
All right, Atticus.
Shit. Atticus. Yeah, Atticus Finch.
Atticus. freaking Lovecraft Country. Oh, no. I don't want to spoil. I almost made a comment, but I don't want to spoil it.
Spoil what?
Spoil, is this the next story or this story?
No. The Lovecraft Country. I almost said something about Lovecraft Country and spoiled
it. I think it's okay if you spoil that show.
It's been a couple of months.
It's been about a couple years.
It's another year or two.
Maybe, I don't know.
Go watch Lovecraft Country if you haven't. I mean, you really don't have to, but...
This week's episode, sponsored by Lovecraft Country and HBO Max.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, wait, is it from HBO Max?
Yeah.
That's weird.
We're sponsored by both Hulu and HBO Max this week.
Stop saying stuff like that. Just gonna cut it out.
No! Did they revive him and then bring him back upstairs to keep listening? Because I know Paul kept prattling on.
I think he just jumped on him weirdly, and then he went back to finish eating like a fuck.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, well, we're going to go home. And they picked him up, and he was like, oh, I guess he's still alive.
Like a fuck. Well, I also, yeah, there's a, you reminded me of something, another detail in there, which is that initially they said Paul talked till midnight. And then this poor boy offs himself, and Paul brings him back with his weird little hug, his little, like, Joe Biden behind the back hug. And then Paul then continues to speak till daylight. So he went till midnight.
You say daylight?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he went from midnight till, what, 6?
And then he said, after talking until daylight, he left. After he went back upstairs after he revived the kid and broke bread and ate, and then he talked till daylight.
Yes.
And he left.
Paul took an Adderall.
Yeah, Paul was on one.
Paul was chatty. And what was Paul even talking about? They actually don't even say. Yeah, he wasn't exactly preaching.
He was talking about everything he could.
He's just one of those people.
Oh, yeah.
Paul. Were they there for Paul?
They were just eating.
He's just
Paul
at
just
an
showed
Applebee's.
Up and started, like, talking to the random people, and they're just like, we don't know how to tell this guy that we're to leave.
He's like, really locked on to me.
He's talking. We're just trying to be really polite and stuff, but he just keeps going and going. We don't know how to break away from this conversation.
I don't even follow this sports team, but he's been talking at me for the last 17 hours.
He's gone from 20 different subjects, and it's midnight, and I have to go feed my. I have to go home and like feed my dog.
I haven't seen any of the Marvel movies, and he's trying to bring me up to speed. It's getting to be a bit much. My dog died, and my son just threw himself off three stories. There's a break in the speech. He's gone to hug my dead child. Fuck, he brought him back.
Oh, he's right back upstairs.
Brought him back.
Then.
Oh, shit,
back
Paul's more, starting again.
More hummus, you know.
Oh. Classic Paul.
Right. We're moving on to number 22.
More hummus, if only.
Balaam's donkey, or Balaam. Balaam?
No, I like Balaam's donkey.
Balaam?
Balaam's donkey rules.
Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him.
Running on his donkey?
Riding on his donkey.
Ah,
yeah.
When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road, with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road and into a field.
That's fair. I would do the same thing.
Crashed a donkey.
Donkey really knows what's up.
Yeah. Balaam beat it to get it to go back onto the road.
All right.
Then the angel of the Lord stood on a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now."
Fair.
The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would have killed you by now. But I would have spared it."
What the fuck?
Stay out of my
swamp. Hold up. Sorry, continue.
Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak officials.
Wait, so he continued on his journey?
That's right.
Yo, hold on, what the fuck? That's like mad fucked up. Okay, one, don't beat any animal. But two, clearly he didn't see the angel, and the angel's like, "What the fuck? Why didn't you listen to the donkey who was just like swerving out of the way?" Really, the angel kind of gaslit Balaam into doing his bidding.
Is this the origin story of Shrek?
I was wondering if you would go there.
Oh, of course I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, this is the Bible's donkey.
Also voiced by Eddie Murphy.
The origin of donkey. Why be me? I can't do that voice.
Donkey
origins. I can't do Eddie Murphy's voice.
Oh, damn.
That's a kind of messed up story. I'm going to say it's a messed up story on everyone's part, except the donkey. The donkey was in the right the whole time.
Donkey. Yeah.
The donkey was the most level-headed character.
The angel is clearly, I'm not going to lie, the angel's not in the right, neither is God for sending his fucking goons stop this guy. But then the angel shows up but doesn't show up so Balaam can see. So it's like I'm gonna kill you, but if you avoid me, you'll be cool, but you can't see me, so you can't really avoid me.
Is this saying that donkeys can see angels?
Yeah, donkeys can do anything they want.
That's true.
Donkeys are God whispers.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Maddie, I need to make a shirt that says that now.
A shirt?
Yeah, it was just your face on it. It says, "Donkeys are God whispers."
Why does it have to be my face?
Because you said it. It's the word of you. I'm taking this scroll into my mouth and delivering it to the people. What's the moral?
The moral of the story?
Yeah.
Don't beat animals?
Everyone fucking sucks. That's the moral of the story, except donkeys.
Yeah, yeah. People
donkeys
are trash.
Are cool.
Animals are pure.
Donkeys got your back.
Be nice to donkeys.
Yeah.
Stay out of my swamp.
That's the moral.
If a donkey swerves with it, ride or die.
This is a real parfait.
Yeah, ride
of a
or
story.
Die or donkey.
It's got layers to it.
So now we're going to play a rather extended game with parts of the Bible where we say gay or not. We also have credentials for this. I don't think we have to say our credentials for this one, but we have credentials.
No,
we don't have to say.
Yeah. Anyway.
We don't have to say anything.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I'm not maybe speak we do. Anymore.
Sorry, I forgot.
It's an audio
people
medium.
Don't know who I am.
That's their problem. Just let's play the game.
Okay, let's play the game. So this one's like, the first part of the game is just one random story, and it's Moses and the Lord, okay? Then Moses said to him, as in God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?
I'll make you brown.
And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory.
That's worked for me before.
And this is where we get the term glory hole.
And then the Lord show said,
God, Lord said, show hole.
I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live.
Yo, God's a dom.
Yeah.
Then the Lord says, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. Mm. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by.
Damn, this is hot.
I think we have an answer, Jay.
Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen.
Ooh.
This is getting me.
I love church.
Yeah.
Euphemism? Yes, no.
Euphemism? No, that was just hot.
Yeah,
as
that
fuck.
Was just straightforward. I don't think there was any subtext there. He's going to put him in that crevasse and then go to town. He's going to flip him around.
It's better than 50 Shades of Grey. I haven't read
50
it.
Shades of Sand.
I haven't read it either.
50 Shades of Sand. is it gay? Or is it. Well.
Exodus? More like Sexodus.
Yeah. Hey. I don't think anything's really ever 100% straight. So I'm going to say, yeah, it's a little gay. Just a little bit, though. Because really, what is God? Moses clearly identifies as whatever the fuck he identifies as. As I just said, he.
Okay. I feel like Show Me Your Glory is pretty, it's
yeah.
pretty good.
Every time someone's...
It's pretty Broadway musical.
That's fair, yeah. That's a real Andrew Lloyd Webber way of saying, let me see that dong.
Show me your glory.
Oh, that was the church hymn.
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
It is.
Send it back.
Damn, church hymns are nasty.
Is this why Kanye likes adding gospel music to his stuff now?
Kanye's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Donda sucked. Donda was not good.
Watch, this is where we get sued. Kanye spends his free time listening to really obscure, brand new podcasts. Yeah. Comes after us.
So this is like a four-parter, okay? Mm. And then each part we could say...
Gay or not. So this can
gay
be like
not.
A hey gay if it's only half gay?
Could be half. Okay. So this is David from Goliath, you know, that one. And
that's
then,
gay.
Yeah.
And Jonathan.
Oh, well, Jonathan. Oh,
the word,
shit.
The name
Jonathan.
Jonathan
sis.
it depends. Mm-hmm. Okay. After David finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Gay or not?
Yeah, because I feel like there's... Yeah, it's very gay. I think all... No. I'm guessing all these people identify as boys.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that.
I mean, men, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, boys were all killed by the bears in the Great Bear War,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
this. Boys are no more.
No, there's something about, like, men who are just, like,
take really off his robe and tunic and sword and belt.
Men who just, like, they want to be with each other, but, like, they're, like, no homo, but they're always, like, yes, want to be away from our, like, girlfriends or wives or whatever. We're going to have, like, a boys' night and just, like, but we're so fucking straight, but we're going to share clothes.
Let me show you how straight I am.
And it's like, really? My bros are all breedable.
Yeah, I breed with my bros.
Yeah.
Boys are breedable?
Yeah, you gotta breed with your bros sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a quote. That's a good one.
I'm gonna say not gay, just in the shadow of that last story, the overtures just aren't a homoerotic enough for me.
I feel like this is more romantic. It's like almost poly or like relationship anarchy.
All right, this is part two. Part two of four for David and Jonathan. This is where maybe, like, there could be some bat or pan sort of situation here. And also, it's also another continuing weird Bible verse. So
that makes sense, since they all have been.
Yeah, so this is Saul. Saul's the king, right? His son is Jonathan. So when Saul's servants told him what David had said, Saul replied, "Say to David, the king wants no other price for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskins to take revenge on his enemies." Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men with him and went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskins. They counted out the full number to the king so David might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him his daughter, Michal, in marriage. When Saul realized the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy for the rest of his days.
Wait, read that last part one more time.
Saul became still more afraid of him. He remained his enemy the rest of his days.
I don't like this book anymore.
Are you kidding me? They love foreskin.
No, I don't like it anymore. But this does remind me of, Maddie, remember that time, it's just like a couple weeks ago, when someone... Obviously, nicked my door outside, and I got all upset, and I asked you to get me 60 foreskins. Like, it's a relatable Bible passage for sure, but is it gay? I don't know.
It just seems violent.
Just violent?
Yeah.
It just seems dick-centric and violent.
Yeah.
It's a very...
So this one's a no. This is just male-centric.
Yeah, it's just someone with an obsession with dicks.
Yeah.
That could... be gay, but this was just, yeah.
But it sounds more like a toxic thing,
almost like psychopathic.
Yeah,
or someone that sounds just pretty psychopathic to me.
A lot, you think kind of psychopathic? The 200 foreskins,
but
yeah,
you know, maybe we're just there's like a power in foreskins we're not getting it.
Oh, there is.
What happens when you get 200? Do you level up?
You did, yeah. You get an achievement.
Yeah,
you get achievement unlocked. Pocket full of foreskins.
Back to the KB stories.
So this episode is sponsored by Foreskins for Foreskins. We buy foreskins. Used new. We'll buy any foreskin, any size, any color.
Foreskins for gold. That's foreskins for gold at blogspot.com.
Do you want me to put that in the advertisement section?
Yeah.
We said it, didn't we?
Yeah, they are our today's sponsor, along with HBO Max.
Bring me your foreskins and I will give you HBO.
For every 3 foreskins, you get a wish.
HBO is a hot blowy OE.
HB Blow Max. Come here to watch Max get blown.
Maybe we've gone too far now.
We can push it farther.
All right. This is part 3 of 4 with Jonathan and David. So Jonathan's father really wanted to kill David. The passages say he's possessed by an evil spirit.
We've all been there.
Oh, it's like the Changeling episode.
Kind of, yeah. It is kind of like the first episode of Changelings in our podcast.
Still fan out.
It comes back full circle. Go watch the first episode.
You can't watch it, Jordan. It's an audio medium.
Oh, go read the... Go listen to the episode.
You can watch time pass.
Yeah, what are you doing over there, Gary? I'm watching a podcast. It's just a screen you're looking at there, but the seconds change.
The seconds do change. Then David fled from Naioth to Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me?" "Never," Jonathan replied. "You're not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything, great or small, without letting me know. Why would he hide this from me? It isn't so." But David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I found favor in your eyes." And he said to himself, "Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account."
Super hot.
And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. John was able to confirm this in his father's anger, so he went to meet David at a field to warn him away. David had known the father was angry, but John actually confirmed it. After the boy was gone, David got up from the south side of stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most.
Hey, this is the moment crying.
No, okay. I don't think it's tears. I think tears are a placeholder.
Jonathan said to David,
"Have you ever been fucked so hard that you cry?"
Not today.
My bad, so good. Not hard.
It could be both. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever." Then David left, and Jonathan went back to town.
They're not going to have any descendants because they can't have a baby.
That's close-minded. I'm upset true. That You're I know you're right.
My bad.
Remember that actually that David is also married to Jonathan's sister.
Yeah, you can
because of the foreskin story.
Mm. Right. You forgot the foreskin story already?
But you can still be married and have a beard, if you know what I mean.
I don't. Explain it.
Gay. I think it is gay, but I really hope that they're... So, Jonathan and David are in this field together.
Jonathan Davis, the singer of Korn, is in this field.
With himself.
Yeah.
Why was... What's his face mad? Why was Paul mad? No, Paul's not in this one.
Saul. Why is Saul mad? Saul's mad
Saul
because
was
son's
possessed
fucking
by
friend.
Evil spirits.
Oh, I thought he was mad.
Oh,
because
he's gay.
Yeah. Wait, Saul's gay?
No.
No, yeah. Saul's possessed by evil spirits, but he's upset that son's...
He's upset the son is probably gay.
Yeah.
And he also is possessed by an evil spirit. It says so in the passage.
It's a 1-2 punch.
It's interesting because the way the Bible's framing it, or whoever wrote it, I'm guessing Saul, which
Greg,
is weird,
Greg.
Is framing it is like, really, you're on the side of
the gay couple that's fleeing the oppression of the father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then yeah, they kissed each other and wept together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got friendship all over one another's
backsides.
But David
wept the most.
He sure did. I'd give it 10 out of 10 gay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty gay. I think it's pretty sweet, honestly.
So essentially, this is part 4 of 4. Jonathan and Saul.
So we're just done with that?
Part 4 of 4 with David and Jonathan.
You just did part 3.
No, I know, but we're just done discussing 3.
We're gonna
there's
learn
a lot.
More.
There's one more. What? Jonathan and Saul go to battle somewhere, and then they die.
Together?
Yeah, just both of them in the battle.
Hot. Quick Have synopsis. You seen Pirates of the Caribbean 3?
Pirates of the Parakeet?
Sorry, everyone.
Have you seen Pirates of the Parakeet?
Pirates of the Caribbean 3 when tall boy and tall girl get married on the boat and then he dies. Oh, sorry, spoilers. Whatever.
It's 30 years old. I think it's fine.
By tall boy and tall lady, do you mean Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley?
Yeah.
They're probably both 5'4".
No,
Keira Knightley's tall.
They're like tall. They're like freakishly tall.
She's a Willowbitch, you know?
God damn it, I'm checking it now.
A Willowbitch? Haven't heard that one.
Maddie says it daily.
Okay, so they
it's
both
like that.
Part 4, they both died in battle. And then David left.
Hot.
David, found out, right? Somebody came and brought him the news. They're like, "David, Saul and Jonathan have died." So then David says this beautiful eulogy.
We'll be the judge
of
that.
Wait, Saul and...
Jonathan died.
Father and son, yeah.
Oh, my bad. I was thinking...
Father and son dead.
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights.
Slay, queen.
I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women.
Okay. Well, that's pretty...
Gay or not.
It's fairly on the nose.
But it also shows...
That seems like something only a straight person would say, to be honest.
Yeah, because it's going out of its way to be like, you are my biggest bro. I've cherished you more than any chick, bro.
But that's
you're he's such saying a bro. This in front of people.
Yeah, I want my bros to hear about how much I love this bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
I love this bro more than any chick, bro. All right.
Hey, bro.
Bro.
Bros can kiss.
Bros kiss all the time. No homo. Ain't gay if you kiss on your bro. As long as your bro don't use tongue. But even if it's a little bit, it's, if it's bro tongue, it's good tongue.
What a sweet story, to be honest.
It's so sweet.
I love the Bible.
I mean, like super that... sad.
So that's Jonathan and David.
Jonathan Davis. This is the origin story of Korn.
And then this is,
That's not there.
It might as well be.
This one's, like, the Book of John, okay, is where it is.
John, okay.
And it's Jesus and the quote-unquote beloved disciple.
Why'd you have to put him on blast and call it quote-unquote?
Because, I don't know. And then
It's a literal, it says quote-unquote disciple?
It says, but it's like always...
Oh, it's in quotes. Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
So this then, is really snide. Like,
and the disciple.
And the quote-unquote cool friend of Jesus.
People think it's either maybe John himself, as it's referenced in the Book of John, or it's like Lazarus, or some other unknown disciple that's super beloved in some way.
It's like the post-credit
scene.
No,
that's why they wrote quote-unquote disciple, because they don't know who the fuck shade at John.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then there's
Lazarus
like...
Lazarus is like, fuck that dude, I came back from the dead. Oh, my bad, spoilers.
Yeah, goddamn, yeah.
There's three scenes where we see Jesus and his beloved disciple. This is scene one.
I'm big surprise. I thought you were going to start with scene two, just kind of Chris Nolan thing here.
Yeah. You're probably wondering how I got here.
We're going to memento this shit. Okay.
Jesus, as read by Guy Pearce.
Yeah. Okay. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" The unnamed disciple whom Jesus loved is referenced five times in the Gospel of John. The church tradition identifies him as John, maybe, but I don't know. So that was the thing. He's leaning, he's reclining next to him, lounging against Christ. He lounges then onto his chest and looks up and asks him a question.
Yeah, I see
in a
this.
Coy manner.
This is I see this as an anime playing out in my head, and it's erotic as shit.
It feels erotic.
Yowie.
Also, like a thing where Simon Peter really wanted to know, so he's like, "Let's ask his lover."
Oh, they're a bunch of gossipy bitches.
Yeah, that's all I was literally going to say. Yeah.
So, who's your?
Who is it? Who is it? Hey, John. John. Who do you think it is? Who do you think it is, John? Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, they're reclining on John or Jesus.
No, John is reclining on Jesus. John is all up in that.
Postulated as being the disciple John, but it just says the words "beloved disciple."
His radiant boy.
Yeah.
It could very well be a sex worker.
Or Jeff Dunham.
Leaning on Jesus, who could also be a disciple, unnamed.
Unknown, yeah.
Unknown.
Yeah, it's the fun post-credit scene where it just kind of leaves it as a tease. And we're like, who was the fun radium boy up on Jesus' cleft?
All right, scene two is a serious scene, and then we're back to less serious on scene three.
Serious scene.
So, serious scene, scene two.
Guess I'll button up my blazer.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary of the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
He must be delirious, y'all, because he's bleeding out up on that wooden stake, and he's just telling us who
honestly,
we are.
Yo, honestly, that's a real one. Jesus is like, "Yo, this is my mom. You're going to give her some housing."
It's really serious.
And is it her sister or his sister?
Wait, I didn't hear any commands. I just heard listing of who people were.
No,
he said,
saying,
like, you're
going
to go, like, disciple. You, disciple, this is my mom.
Take care of her.
Oh, see, I thought it was just Jesus bleeding out up there. Be like, you're my mom. You're her sister. And
Jesus
they're just like, yeah, we know.
Jesus is on the cross right now.
Yeah, they just said he was.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on the cross right now?
Yeah.
Oh. No, he's near the cross.
What? No, the cross wouldn't be there unless he was up on it.
Oh,
he didn't
yeah.
He didn't tour it.
Yeah, that's right. He's on the cross.
He didn't go visit it.
He's on the cross and people are standing near it.
No,
just kidding.
I remember now because this was in the Passion of the Christ. My parents took me to see that when I was like very young.
I had to see it in theaters.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
With my grandmother, I want to say.
My parents were like, you can't see any rated R film. But then they were like, you gotta see the Passion of the Christ.
Gotta see this month.
That shit was... It was horrific.
The dude literally broke his arm when he was filming.
That movie...
He broke his arm on the
that
cross.
That dude's name is Jesus, Maddie.
No, the actor.
The actor. Hold
yeah.
the fuck up.
You don't think Mel Gibson
You
don't think Mel Gibson got actual Jesus?
Yeah, no. Mel Gibson, renowned racist and piece of shit, got Jesus for that movie.
I don't know anything about Mel Gibson.
All he needs to know is he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. So, like, on a serious note, right? This is from that source that's like talking about gay liberation, etc. One of the
hard right turn.
No, it's a serious passage. Okay, and here's a serious thing. Goss from 2000. He reads this scene as this could be in modern times, like a scene in the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, where like both in a dying with like a dying gay man, his lover and his mother are present, and it could be like reenacted. Basically, during that pandemic. So it's like a bereavement narrative.
That would be a very interesting movie to see. Like, sorry, I know I said movie, but it just isn't something visual to present. Mm-hmm. To That'd be an interesting movie to kind of, like, replay that sort of entire, like, set of scenes or just that whole situation as, like, something more modern.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be, like, a modern critique.
Yeah.
Of, like...
Get big Angels in America.
Are you talking about Angels in the Outfield? Or?
No, I'm talking about Angels in America, the play about the AIDS epidemic.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But okay, so we're back to less serious in scene three. So
yay! more fart jokes.
Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in a boat, towing a net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So basically, the lover knows his lost lover first, like before everyone else. They're like, "Oh my god, there's my bro
Jerry."
I mean Jesus.
Sorry, it was a crazy night last time I saw you.
No, that's like, yeah, I like the idea of Jesus coming back from the dead and just like haunting my bed,
haunting works.
To his lover, everyone I loved, I will hopefully haunt you when I die, so you know who you are.
That's a promise.
Yeah, a promise. I doubt you're going to hear this, but I promise that I will haunt you.
What? Are you saying you're not telling everyone you know that we have a podcast?
Well, I just read it as he's telling you and I, the two people he loves.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm haunting you.
Currently. Jordan died last week. Thanks for all this good ghost content. Yeah. It really fits with the October theme.
All right, so is Jesus gay or not?
Was Jesus gay? You know, I think Jesus was absolutely bi. Yeah.
I think also Jesus was bi or pan, probably.
Yeah. Jesus did whatever the fuck Jesus wanted.
And you know he loves everyone.
And he looked Polish.
Jesus was black.
Yeah.
Hot take.
He looked Polish. Blonde, blue-eyed Jesus in the middle of the Middle East.
Jesus looked like
Africa.
Jesus looked like he went to Ohio State University.
Yeah. Mormon Jesus dying on the cross.
This is fun, lighthearted fare. I sure hope we have like-minded listeners, because I might be losing a few this week.
I might get some emails.
About what? From your Catholic family?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're Italian and...
They can skip this one.
I can't imagine them really digging it, but we'll see. Shit, they're my family, too.
Also, he wasn't an American, so curse words are okay to say. He couldn't say
He didn't even know these words.
I guess he could say damn, but...
No.
No?
I cuss thee.
Yeah, he cursed, like, actual curses. Like, ones that would cause bears and figs to die.
Yeah, he just voice. Murdered.
Yeah.
Let's hear Maddie's Jesus voice again real quick.
I damn you to hell. It's the same voice as the witch from the Changelings episode.
Yeah, that's a white Jesus voice, though.
You know, I like to think that Jesus talked like Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Jesus looked like Andy Serkis.
Yeah. But just imagine Jesus going, like... Just always, everything he says, say it in Gollum's voice from Lord of the Rings.
Wait, give me a line from Jesus.
Yeah.
Should I put the trigger warning at the beginning or leave it in the end?
Put it at any point.
Yeah, you can just,
put this suddenly whole thing at the beginning.
Just slam it in at like minute 3:23. Yeah. Just hard edit into.
You could do it before or after the song.
Yeah.
What song?
You know what song. The song y'all listened to before you started listening to this podcast.
Oh, the song.
Yeah.
Got it. I always put it after, I think. All right, here's the bonus. I've got three good proverbs here from the book of Proverbs. Proverb. Okay, here's number one. It's Proverbs 11:22.
I love that one.
Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion.
Say it one more time.
No, never say it again.
Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion.
Okay.
I got nothing. I got that.
So an indiscreet woman is like a pig snout with a gold ring on it.
With a hoop.
Oh.
I mean, it's basically like they're throwing shade on indiscreet, no discretion women.
Are they slut shaming? Are they, though? What they're trying to say?
I kind of think so.
They're slut shaming. Okay.
Wow. See, because I like all of these things. I like indiscreet women. I like pigs. And I like pigs with nose rings. So
women with no discretion.
It just felt like an echo chamber of cool shit.
That's number one. Proverbs 21:9. Mm. Better to live on a corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife.
Is this why, like...
This sounds like... Yeah, it seems like a Everybody Loves Raymond story comedian.
Woo! Yeah,
King of Queens. Yeah.
Raymond wrote this part of the Bible.
This is a Kevin James joke.
That's such a weird thing. I saw, like, a post, like, a few days ago. Hold on.
King Kevin James Bible.
King Kevin James Bible.
Is that what this is from?
It's from the King of Queens.
Yeah, the King of...
Two Kings, Two Furious.
The corner of... Also, I'm just imagining, like, when this was written was when people were essentially living no more than, like, one, maybe two story... Oh, I guess we do have, we have precedence already in the episode for three-story buildings. But they're not that tall, so it's not that much danger. So it's just a slight inconvenience.
Oh, okay, so here's the post this reminds me of. It says... I'm on Instagram, so sorry.
Thank you for citing your source.
Yeah, at Kate at Kitty Nouveau.
K?
Yeah, the K, at Kitty Nouveau. Said, my fiancé is going out of town this weekend, and I keep telling people, I don't know what to do with myself while he's gone. And they say, do all the things he never lets you do. And I'm like, what do you mean? Are y'all okay?
Well, see, they don't understand because they're still in fiance pupa stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that we're married.
The main thing that my husband doesn't let me do is that every time I ask him, do you want to watch Downton Abbey? He sighs and says no. And
then you've done that literally once.
And then the other time is when I put on the Great British Baking Show.
That I do a lot.
He starts reading or he'll do like a literal different thing. And I'm just making my commentary to the little air because he's not paying attention to me.
That's fair. I do need...
I also really like this one. It's part of the same thread. Imagine your car decline at the therapy and they bring in your ex.
Aww. That's so sad.
Wait, did I say at the therapy?
Yeah, you did.
Oh my God.
At the therapist?
That's so locked in now.
So embarrassing.
The only thing's Maddie...
You can re-say it. I can just cut it out.
Yeah.
Maddie never lets me be a child clown. Yeah. Or...
No, we can't cut anything out of this
episode. Maddie never lets me listen to Linkin Park at 3 a.m. either. Oh. So whenever she's out of town, I come three.
Yeah, what an interesting thing. Even the Bible's like, Why get married?
When you've been married, the sanctity of marriage, like, but who wants that?
Weird. Why isn't the Bible like, yeah, get married, it's amazing, you find someone that you love.
You'd think it would be that, it's considering like, how hard people fight for it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this fucking person who you decided to be with your whole life.
Oh, this holy union.
Yeah.
That we must protect at all costs from gay people. Yeah. But fuck that, right?
What a load of shit, but we can't let anyone else deal with this shit anymore.
Yeah, we did
trigger. Yeah, we did a trigger warning, and we'll put it in the description, irreverent. How about that?
Irreverent?
South Park humor.
Three idiots talked about religion.
Three, two people who lived through religion in childhood, and one person who literally didn't have to.
Three idiots talk about religion, asterisk. This is the religion that's funny and stupid.
Don't worry, it's not your religion. It's the others.
Asterix.
We actually, to be fair, we haven't said anything about the religion. We've only talked about the Bible specifically.
So one time, me and my family went, I think we were at like a family reunion, or we went visited some other family somewhere, and we went to church, their other church somewhere, some city, some state.
Tight.
And the service that the pastor... Thank you.
I wasn't sure if it was priest or pastor. No, if it's Episcopal, it's pastor, right?
I don't know that much, homie.
I don't know either.
I'll take the lead here. It's pastor.
You don't know?
I would like an al pastor, honestly.
Sounds good.
Al pastor.
Let's go get al pastor right now.
You like Mexican food?
Yeah.
But
sorry, Jordan. Please continue.
the preacher slash pastor slash religious leader.
Slash Mexican
cult
food.
Slash cult leader. Was doing a sermon on, it's just like a regular sermon, but he started to bring up the idea that the Bible is just like an object, and that's not really the important part of the religion. It's just like sort of the words, the interpretation and stuff. So like, you don't like, because people really treat the Bible like any fucking Bible that you can get at any Christian store, like it's
that's the holy object.
Yeah, like, this is the thing. Which is, like, fine to a degree, yeah. But you have to understand that it's just, like, a book, and it's not, you shouldn't really, I guess even during that sermon, he was, like, hot take. He's like, but you really shouldn't, like, put, like, it's just a book. So he, like, threw it on the ground and stepped on it, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should go to this church more often.
That's tough. It's more about the actions it leads to, rather than the physicality of the object.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting point of view that I think my parents left and they were like, I don't know. But I was very much like, yeah, you know, you're right. It's like, that's not the important part, is like the book. It's just the book. And you can, I mean, maybe the book has some importance in terms of how you received it. Maybe it was a gift or something. But at the end of the day, it's, if it like burns, it burns. It's not like God's going to be like, whoa, you let your book burn? That's fucked up.
I used a Bible for rolling papers in college.
Wow.
That's not healthy.
That's so risque.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I was an atheist back then.
You're so cool.
Yeah.
God, Maddie, Jesus.
It's really hard metal. Just
unmarry me.
Pretty fucking hardcore.
Oh, you so can't hardcore. Because that's against Jesus' rule book.
We didn't get married in the church.
Fuck!
Let's just, we'll close this out with the last proverb. Proverbs 31:6, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly.
Oh, I feel this on a deep level.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's fair. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is good. I get it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like a dog returns to its vomit.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they were
repeating the same mistake every day.
There are other metaphors for that, but yeah. I guess they're
because right. Yeah, like, I get it, but I also don't. Just given what they chose to use as the analogy? No.
Return to its vomit? I've seen a dog and a cat do it.
I've seen a cat.
They eat their own vomit again.
I've seen my dog eat other dog's shit and puke and piss, but I've never seen it eat its own.
Yeah, dogs do that.
And that goes for myself. Make yourself look like a cat.
That's all I got.
Well,
that's all, folks.
That was a lot, and that was a lot of goodness.
Yeah.
I feel gayer, and I feel more closer to God than ever before.
To be fair, to be gayer is to be closer to God.
Wow, you're right. It is one and the same.
Yeah.
Just so?
I mean, we could, like, sincerely thank Jordan for being our first podcast guest. You're the first one.
Oh, I thought you had another.
Mm. Oh, you idiot.
Oh, no. I don't want to be the first at anything.
Oh, too late, asshole.
It's too late. Oh, God. Now it's saved and recorded.
I can delete it.
Yeah, we haven't controlled S that yet, have we?
Yeah. Thank you, Biden, for doing nothing.
Ooh.
Was that the one that gets cut?
Probably not. I'll leave that in.
Okay, cool.
That's valid enough.
Yeah.
He's currently, like, you know.
What? What, Maddie? What are you going to say?
Humanly capturing people?
I haven't seen him on those horses, so we're good.
Yeah. Just because you haven't seen him doesn't mean he hasn't been there.
So, right. Maddie, I really appreciate that. That was a bunch of kick-ass information and funny-as-fuck stories that I didn't know the Bible had. I didn't know it had it in it.
Well, they also have, like, super fucked-up stories, but I decided not to do all of those, excluding the one where two bears maul 42 boys.
Yeah, that was the best thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
Can all those
I don't really know what to say to that. I guess there is nothing to say to that one.
I can barely handle it. Yeah. I'm also amazed we didn't do a bear joke, considering the gay themes of today's episode.
Oh, too easy. I made a beer joke.
Yeah. And we still need to Google that. So, everybody, thank you again for coming to spend this time with us. It means the world. Continue to share the podcast and spread the good word.
Let's get to 1 million. Comment, and subscribe.
Yeah, let's get to 1 million really by nice. Next week. As of recording,
smash that like button.
Smash that.
Slap that subscribe button, or I'll come find you.
Make our podcast as...
And I'll give you a hug.
How can they get in touch with us if they have questions, concerns, or want to share a story?
Please continue to tell your friends about our podcast. Word of mouth is amazing. Also, if you want to send in feedback or hate mail after this episode, please send it to addstoryteller@gmail.com. It's teller, not telling. Thanks, Jordan, for being our guest.
Thanks, Jordan.
And being another person to sound off this episode. More exhorties.
You are our first guest.
I was a little unhinged, but it had a lot of fun.
That's what it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
It's an informal episode.
It's ADD storytelling. It's got to be unhinged or it's not right.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun revisiting some memories in my head about God. So, good memories.
All right. As we say every week, let God let gay, and thank you for being here.
What?
We don't say that at all.
Is this where we're cutting?
Yeah.
Like right now?